If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
It's the end of an era. For 20 years, and it doesn't seem like that long to me, but for 20 years, we've had to take off our shoes if we wanted to get on an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Our whole lives, we were told to keep your shoes on. It's polite to keep them on. And then they told us to take them off for airplane travel. And it was all because of a guy named Richard Reed who tried to blow up a bomb in his shoe. It did not succeed, but it did succeed in making us all have to go through more hassles at TSA.
And I have people I know that I wear flip-flops. I'm like, so you're walking around a barefoot in an airport.
And that's what throws me off. I'll have a cute outfit planned, and I'm like, but see, I can't wear socks with those shoes, and I'm not going to go barefoot in an airport, so I'm going to change the whole outfit. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's great news, because that era has come to an end.
So,
starting today, they're going to, it depends on each TSA location, they're slowly rolling this in, but they're not going to make you take your shoes off anymore.
I'm glad, because it slows things down, because everybody's over there, and it's almost like you're at a shoe store trying on shoes, and everybody's lined up putting their shoes back on.
I've learned to make it easier for me. I don't wear a belt. I don't wear a jacket. I don't wear shoes. I just walk through the airport and I can walk right through that thing. It doesn't beep or anything.
You walk through the airport pulling your pants.
Well, there is a reason for all of this stuff, and we forget sometimes that they are doing a job. I have a story today that's going to blow your mind. It's about a single cigarette that killed 124 people on a Boeing 707, and it didn't crash. The plane did not crash, but the cigarette killed 124 people.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Well, you know, secondhand smoke's bad, too.
Yeah. Worse than we thought, apparently. Imagine you've been on a long-haul flight from Rio de Janeiro to Paris for hours, and during the airplane's final descent, you smell something odd. Then the cabin begins to fill with smoke. Passengers around you are coughing, struggling to breathe, and passing out, and you realize the smoke is thinner at the front of the plane. So you get out of your seat to go forward, and the crew shouts at you to sit down, says everyone must stay in their seats. What do you do? Well, the passengers, all but one of them, obeyed. This happened whenever 124 passengers on an airplane to Paris struggled with this exact dilemma in 1973. This was back when smoking was allowed on planes.
Oh, okay.
Someone had thrown a single cigarette into a bathroom trash can, and it caused a big enough fire that the air on board became impossible to breathe.
Ooh.
It got so bad that the captain ended up bailing out before Paris and crashed into a field 5 kilometers short of the runway, or about 2.5 miles short of the runway. When rescuers opened the doors, they found 123 passengers had died of smoke inhalation before the plane had even landed. The crew, on the other hand, fled to the front of the cabin where the air was better. Of 17 crew members, 10 survived, and only one passenger disobeyed the crew's orders. 21-year-old Ricardo Trajanano forced his way forward and survived as well.
Okay, this is like the Titanic. Stay where you are. Everything's fine. Yeah. Ooh, sorry, that was a bad plan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, could they not have dropped those oxygen masks?
You would wonder, wouldn't you? That's like, why couldn't they drop the oxygen masks down and breathe?
Because I think they're not real. They're there.
They just don't do anything.
Yeah, they're for aesthetics.
Yeah, make you feel good about it. Yeah.
The FAA responded quickly and required airlines to put ashtrays in their planes.
I
kid you not.
Really?
That was the response.
Ain't that something?
The captain, who did survive, lived to fly again. But then, this was in 1973. In 1979, he was flying a plane, a cargo run from Japan to Rio, with a stopover in Los Angeles. The six crew members updated the airport tower 20 minutes after takeoff, then set off across the Pacific and were never heard from again.
Oh.
So he basically lived another 6 years and then still had some sort of a disaster and died in the plane.
I feel like being a pilot, it's too much. You're chancing death every single time you go to work.
But most pilots live to an old age.
Yeah, but then if it's like a one in a million and you're that one.
Well, that's the same as flying as a passenger, too.
Then you hear all those stories about the Bermuda Triangle mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
You notice that hasn't been happening anymore?
What?
The Bermuda Triangle quit being a thing a few years back.
Well, I don't know a lot about geometry, but there was something suspicious there.
Well, it's a no-fly zone now, though, in that area.
No, I don't believe it is.
I believe somewhere over in there is.
Was that an old myth that people made up stories about the Bermuda Triangle?
Like Bigfoot. You notice we got more cameras than ever before, and we have fewer sightings of them, except that AI channel.
Because people are lazy. They won't leave their homes.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
They're on their devices. He walks by and looks at them, and they're on their phones.
I will say this. I'm glad that airlines don't let us smoke on there anymore.
I am too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they should let them bring those chargers on either.
Yeah, because they could start a fire?
Those things catch on fire all the time.
I will say this, though. They'll still let you drink on an airplane, won't they?
Yeah.
That's because you almost have to.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
And today is Amazon Prime Day.
Yeehaw.
A lot of people already at work shopping this morning.
There's also a Target something and a Walmart something.
They're copycats.
They all started today, too.
Did they really?
I believe so. Oh,
yes, wow. And I love it because I'm like, that's right. Y'all all compete and give me the good deals.
I'm like, does a Dollar Tree have a day?
Every day.
Yeah, okay. So when it comes to shopping, the average woman spends about 12 seconds and she knows that she's going to buy something. It takes her 12 seconds to decide that they're going to buy something. Men take a little bit longer than that, but not much.
Is that the 12 seconds to walk into the door? Because pretty much if I'm going shopping, I'm like, I'm leaving here with something.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. It can be a Snickers bar, but I'm leaving with something.
That seems really fast to me.
Yeah, you pick something off the rack, and then all of a sudden, 12 seconds later, it's in your cart.
I got something in my cart right now on Amazon. I still hadn't decided if I'm going to buy it or not.
I do that too.
Yeah. I want to, but I'm like, it's a lot of money and I don't know if I need to, but I still want to.
Sometimes I hate when you say something in your cart has changed and you're like, oh, the price has gone up.
That's just as bad when it goes down because then you got to think, do I want it now?
Or you've had it in your cart for like a month and then it says something in your cart has changed and they no longer have it and you're like, ah, about to buy it.
Yeah. Hate that too. So here's one thing you can learn from this 12-second rule that women know what they're going to buy that quick. They say, when you go shopping with a woman and she says, hey, let's stop in here and just look. You just give her 8 seconds, okay? Okay. We got to go.
I always get John, if he does have to come with me, I get him a snack or I'll get him like a Starbucks or something. And then he's a little bit more lenient with how long I can take.
I got you. Okay. Because he can sit there and just eat his Cinnabons right outside the store.
Kato's friend goes to the mall, and he goes into what store?
Grill Marks.
Grill Marks.
He walks right in that door, sits at the bar, and he says, bring me the bags, and I'll put them in the car.
Well, top frustrating items women buy. What do you think the number one? You know the number one answer.
Clothes. Well, any clothes.
Okay, clothes. Most of these are clothes, but it's the one thing, bathing suits.
Uh-huh.
So frustrating. And you can, you know, I guess, do you buy those on Amazon?
You can.
Okay.
But you have to make sure they're prime because you have no idea how they're going to fit. But that's when Stacey Bartrow was in, she and I were talking about it. And what's frustrating is your like top and bottom never match size-wise.
Yeah.
And they love to be like, it's a combo. It's already put together. And I'm like, no, because my top and my bottom don't communicate. They're not the same size at all.
That's the same even when I haven't bought one in forever, but suits. Like, I get a suit, and it's a 46 regular, whatever it is. But then the pants are way too big or small, and they don't fit. And you got to go, well, I got to go buy another suit and then put them back together in the wrong
thing. And the thing is, what if you want a different top than a bottom?
On a suit?
Yeah, you might want black pants and a, you know, green jacket. I don't know. I'm making... I have one suit that I don't even think I fit in anymore.
Okay, so bathing suits is the most frustrating thing with the women. And then they say shoes, also frustrating for them.
Really? Because women love to buy shoes.
They do love to buy shoes, but it's frustrating, they say, because sometimes maybe one size doesn't fit. Like you know that when it comes to body parts, most all things on your body's uneven. Like your ears are uneven, your feet, one side's bigger than the other. You may not know that. Your nostrils, look at your nostrils. One side is bigger than the other.
I can't see them.
Yeah. But also, like getting a pair of shoes, they may not have the right size, too. And you're going to buy one size lower, one size bigger.
That doesn't bother me, especially if there's a really good deal. Okay. I mean, I bought a size smaller just because it was on sale.
But they should be required to make half sizes because the Hey Dudes, I like Hey Dudes.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But like one size is snug. I mean, my toes are right at the end.
Me too. It pokes out the side.
And the next size up, I feel like a clown. So
what's
do I
a
do?
Hey Dude?
Huh?
What's a Hey Dude?
You don't know. You got Hey Dudes?
Oh, Tom.
Shoot.
Hey
Dude.
You would love these because it doesn't even feel like you have shoes on.
You just got to slide into them.
They're so light. I'm like, and it's for the lazy man.
Hey, dude, you got to try them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds too lazy.
I think it's still at Carolina Moon.
Tom, I thought you would like that. I mean,
I don't buy things for lazy reasons.
Have you not seen his mandals? He doesn't like his little piggies trapped. He likes them open.
I got you.
My little piggies are closed. There's air holes, but they're not open to the world.
All right. Other frustrating items women hate to buy. Lingerie, bras, anything like that. They don't like to buy those.
I haven't bought a bra since like 99. She's holding on by a thread, but she's still there.
You only have one there. Well, now you worked at Victoria's Secret.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that frustrating for women?
Yeah, it turns out the secret is bras are overpriced.
Well, we know that one.
Mm-hmm. I thought the secret was she's a tramp.
Oh, my.
Well, so she's kind of trashy.
But you don't even know her.
Do you like when they're in the, like, is there a fitting room at the, I've not been in the Victoria's Secrets.
Yes.
I have.
Really? No. I mean, I might have stepped foot once or
not allowed
twice.
Back.
No wonder.
So there is a fitting room for lingerie?
Yeah. And so, and there are like sister sizes. There's all this stuff to bras.
Do the women get frustrated though when they're?
I mean, maybe the blessed women don't as much, but for some of us, we're like, all of these are too big. So this is frustrating.
Moving right along.
Please.
Yes. Jeans were mentioned, another clothes that the women find frustrating.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. I was at some kind of like seamstress alteration sewing place. I was dropping off some shorts that I needed. I had holes in an unusual area. I'm like, how did I get a hole there? So
where
she was
it?
Right there.
I knew it.
You fixed a pair of shorts?
Well, that's how picking at
it's
it.
It's one of my favorites. But this lady was in there with like three pairs of jeans just fussing all about. Like, this one don't fit like this one does, and this one don't fit like this one, and I need y'all to save me.
Because, guys, y'all go by inches. So you can walk into a store and say, you know, what, 32, 34, whatever, and you're done.
Yeah.
For girls, an 8 in one store can be a 29-inch waist. In the other, it can be a 32-inch waist. It's all over the place.
Well, I buy my jeans at Plato's Closet, so it's a variety of name brands, and every size is different. I mean, whatever, a 34, 30 in one brand is tighter in the other or
He's
looser.
Not wrong.
Yeah, so they need to. There needs to be a universal size.
There is.
For all.
They just don't do it. I mean, it's supposed to be inches.
That's true.
Yeah. Universal size, is that just stretchy pants?
Yeah, sweatpants.
The whole universe can fit in ours.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Oh, man, it is ridiculously hot right now.
Oh, it's like almost like, you know when it snows and everybody gets snowed in? It's so hot, everybody gets hot in.
I literally open my fridge and just stand in front of it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, another thing you got to think about with this hot weather is your pets.
Yeah.
You know, they can't be out as long. You got to watch out for hot pavement and things like that. I saw a study. They said the average dog owner makes 27 decisions per month. That's pretty much one a day. Based on their pet. And a new report says that the parents who have no kids but just have their dogs as parents even treat the dogs more like kids, and they have even more decisions that they make.
Yeah.
But most dogs don't have a lot of decisions to be made for it. I mean, they usually have the same meals every day. They don't go to college, but that doesn't mean that we don't make a lot of decisions and choices based on their behalf. The average dog owner supposedly cancels 4 social plans a month because their dog can't go, and they typically cut plans short 6 times a month to get home for the dog.
Much like parents with kids. Yeah, you have excuses of why you can't do something and excuses why you ought to get home, babysitter.
Yeah, but sometimes it gets extreme. Like, imagine you have brain surgery and then you're like, oh, well, the surgeon couldn't make it today because his dog felt lonely.
I'd be like, so I get it.
Stay home with the dog.
Or how about you're at work and you take a sick day off?
Yeah, my dog is, I'm staying with my dog today.
But don't you take a sick day if your child's sick?
No, it depends on the circumstances.
Yeah, just depends.
How sick are they? But, you know, this is a lot of stuff that people have to deal with their pets, and they have to make sure. Now, my sister-in-law, they adopted this dog. It's the craziest story. They adopted the dog. It was supposed to be 15 pounds and 2 years old. They got the dog. It's like 35 pounds and 5 or 6 years old. But they kept it anyway because it's a cute dog. Mm-hmm. And it's a good dog, but she thinks that it is apparently much more high maintenance than it actually is. She won't leave the dog alone for more than a couple of hours because she says it gets separation anxiety.
Aww.
I'm like, I think you're the one with the separation anxiety.
That's, John used to do this a lot with Coda. We would be out and he'd be like, well, we got to get home to Coda. I'm like, Coda is a cat. He does not want us home.
He was a dog, honestly.
But he acted like a cat.
He was a dog.
With a cat mentality.
Okay, that's different.
But it's a good excuse to get out of that conversation or wherever, you know. He's like, we need to get home and take him out.
You know, dogs can go all day, really, 8 hours.
They can.
I mean, people at work, 8 hours that can't get home to walk their dog.
You know what your dog does if you're not home? It sleeps and it licks itself.
Yeah, okay.
Unless you got a dog that eats your whole house.
It's like you got that camera and you're just watching your dog while you're not home to see what's
That's
up
a
to.
Great idea, too. Yeah. We do that with my parents. You might as well do it with your dog, too.
What do you mean?
We got a camera in their living room to check on them.
So you're eavesdropping on your parents' conversations and stuff?
No, just make sure they're still, like, moving.
Does your camera rotate and follow?
No, I don't think
so. I have a friend. Excuse me. I was in her place visiting. All of a sudden, I felt something, and it was her camera, and it follows you around.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
When she gets on there to see her dogs, they'll walk past it, and it follows the dog.
The dog's like, who's spying on me?
Yeah, it's really, she calls it Uncle Albert.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, well, my buddy, he actually bought a camera system because his dog was getting on the couch, and he could tell, and it's leaving fur. So he would yell at him at work. He's like, you know, Rusty, get off the couch. That dog would get off the couch. That's the only reason he bought it.
Dog's like, what in the world is this?
I know.
Yeah, when I did that with Coda, he just rolled over. He was like, I know you're not actually here to do anything about it. So
I will say, I almost spoiled my dog, I think, because I gave him too many treats. You say he can last for 8 hours not going outside because you'll be at home.
Most dogs can.
All of a sudden, he'll ring his bell. And it's like, you know, he goes out and he like looks over his shoulder like, you know, if I do this squat, you know, he'll be squatting like fake squatting and not doing anything.
Oh.
And then because I'll give him a treat.
Oh, you got you trained.
He's got me trained. I didn't train the dog. It trained me.
He's like, look at that dumb human.
Give me a treat for fake pooping.
I just love the idea of him ringing a bell like, ding, okay, peasant, I'll take my treat now. Oh, thank you.
It's the best thing in the world.
Like, oh, it's not. Our dog rings it all the time.
I know, but imagine if your baby could do that. You know, just ring the bell. Hey, I'm about to go.
Except just like the dog, he learned he could do it more than he actually needed to.
Yeah.
Our dog doesn't fake poo or pee or whatever, but he rings the bell when he don't really need to go out a lot. Or he just wants to go out a lot and we're not letting him because I'm like, no, you're going to come back in 5 seconds. They said if the parents don't have kids, if all they have is the dog parent situation, they're more likely to drop money on treats, toys, and higher quality pet food, dog beds, dog furniture, and personalized accessories like engraved tags and monogram blankets.
Okay.
Your dog doesn't know that you monogram the blanket, except if it's trying to eat the embroidery off.
I'm not sure I ever bought Daisy anything for Christmas.
Oh, we do that. Now, the dogs go nuts for their toys. Like, if you get them stuffed we would get those for Christmas.
Not necessarily.
Because they would see us opening all these toys, and then you'd get them theirs, and they'd go nuts with it. It was, you were rotten, Kato.
I mean, Coda had a Tempur-Pedic mattress, and I don't even have that.
He had a Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Did. Mm-hmm. Wow. He was quite fancy. Well, and then I got my little Walmart one.
We got our dog's sleep numbers. The adjustable mattress.
Well, here's Tom Papa talking about the dog parents.
We torture ourselves. It's our brains. Only our brains, by the way. Only our brains. Other animals don't have this problem. Your dog doesn't have low self-esteem. Your dog doesn't call himself a piece of garbage even while he's eating out of the garbage. He doesn't sit on the couch afterwards and beat himself up. What is wrong with me? I told everyone on New Year's Eve, no more garbage. No, your dog eats the garbage, sits on the couch. Thank you. I see what you did for me. Thank you. I love you too. I ate it all. I even ate the bag. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. You know why? Because I'm a good boy. Yes, I am. I'm a good... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I threw it up. I'm so sorry. Are you going to clean that up? No, no, no. I'm going to eat that, too.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, Tori, now you got baby Michael. I bet you're glad that this didn't happen, because one in 2,000 babies are born with this. One in 2,000 babies.
It's a horrible way to have a conversation.
No, it's not. It makes
really
sense.
Is. Hair.
No. More babies have hair. Oh, this yeah. is this. You're getting hot though.
Web toes.
No. Because baby Michael has webbed toes, right?
On both feet.
Yeah.
Oh, he's about to be a swimmer.
Yeah. Well, he would swim in circles if he did.
I got his teeth.
One in 2,000 babies are born with a tooth.
Are you serious?
Wow. How about that?
Huh.
I mean, imagine feeding time there.
Yeah, no.
That would be so painful.
Yeah, I've seen videos where they have the bottle in their mouth and they're just pulling it as hard as they can and they're thrashing like a shark. And I'm like, and that's when I'll stop nursing. Won't be doing that.
Yeah, but I had no that's idea weird. That babies can be born or they're born with a tooth.
Man.
So they don't need any of that baby food. You can go straight for a filet, right?
Yeah. Take it ask for a kid seat. He needs a booster seat, a really tall one.
And ketchup. Yeah. He likes ketchup with his filet.
Yeah, I don't even know how they eat that baby food, that pea soup or whatever baby food's green.
Have you ever tried formula?
No.
Formula's horrible.
Is it?
The kids must not have any taste buds starting out.
You know what, though? Supposedly breast milk is, too.
Yeah, well, Kato and I have had it.
It leaves a film in your mouth.
We did it for Torture Tuesday.
And, you know, it's kind of like dog food. Like, you'll just try it once. I never did that with baby formula.
I never did it with dog food.
Okay.
You never did it with breast milk either.
I didn't.
Honestly, dog food's not that bad.
That depends on the dog food.
Alpo.
Gainsburgers are not good.
Yeah, on a bun. Yeah.
Tried frying it up.
Now, I will say one of the fun moments of, like, your kid's life, especially when they're little, when they start losing their teeth. It's kind of funny because, you know, they don't have those teeth in the front.
You and I have a different idea of fun.
Why?
Because I didn't find anything fun about my kids losing their teeth.
It's just cute.
They love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get to put it under the pillow and stuff.
They're like, look at my loose tooth.
And I will say that looks painful because I remember, like, my son, he would, like, bite into a sandwich because that tooth would just flap. Like, if the wind would blow, the tooth would just flap.
Like my grandpa's.
But he would bite into a sandwich and that tooth would just flip right up. And I'm like, let's pull that tooth or something. And then they don't want you to pull the tooth because they're afraid it's going to hurt. And then you're like, okay, then let's eat a Tootsie Roll, okay? Eat this Tootsie Roll.
See, and that's what I get really grossed out with mouth stuff. I don't know how I'm going to handle that.
Oh, really?
Because my nieces would come up and be like, look, Tori, it's loose. And they go, and flick it in and out. And I'm like, stop.
Wouldn't you hate to bite into a burger and your tooth just lay back on top?
Yeah.
You don't even bite through it.
One of our kids lost a tooth, and I swear to God, it's like the tooth just slid off and the nerve just hung down.
Oh.
It was so I'm with you, Tori. It grossed me out.
That grosses me out.
I'm like, it gets so... I'm going to throw up.
I've never seen that before.
Oh, it was weird. It eventually shrunk up and went back up there.
It's the same premise as like you, Tom. Like when you got some of your teeth work done and stuff, you can take out the partial and all of a sudden you're like, three teeth are gone. And I'm like, Tom looked like a redneck.
And he'd come in here and show me. I'm like, that's a lot of gum I'm looking at.
Yeah.
He can hear y'all.
Oh, sorry, Tom. I mean, the same premise, though, as kids going, look, my tooth's loose.
Mine are all, they re-permanented them. They're not like flopping around now. It was just those were the temporary things.
Well, you wore them out. You've been eating so much over the years.
Well, I told you about my girlfriend used to be a bartender, and guys would come up and hit on her, and she was a soccer player, and so her two front teeth got knocked out. And when guys would start annoying her, she'd pop them out and be like, "What can I get you a drink?"
Okay, that's a fun trick.
If they weren't too drunk, that would run them off. If they were drunk, they didn't slow them down. Because then you got the beer goggles on. You're like, she's missing two front teeth, but that's all right.
You need a beer telescope or something. Two teeth are missing in the front.
You don't know when half of them are gone.
I was going to say.
Okay. Hawk and Tom on B93.7.